Good evening. I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast number 125 are David Platt.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Kevin Crossman.
Hello, hi, everyone.
And Dave Matt.
Hey there, everybody.
So tonight on the Diz Dads podcast, we're heading back out to Southern California to begin taking a closer look at Disney California Adventure Theme Park. We'll be focusing this week on Buena Vista Street, Hollywood Land, and A Bug's Land. But before we get to that discussion, I want to once again thank our podcast sponsor, Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. When you're next considering a trip out to Disneyland, Walt Disney World, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney, check out Fairy Tale Journeys at fairytalejourneys.com. One of their agents would love to help you make it the most magical vacation possible. So, guys, you're really going to have to help me out here because you're the veterans. I really don't know Disney California Adventure as well as I know most of the Disney World parks. So we're going to be counting on you to kind of give the more Disney World-centered gang among the Diz Dads a better picture of California Adventure, because everything I see is very exciting about what they've done with this theme park. And so, you know, it's up to you to really kind of bring it all home for us, I guess, is what I would say. Now that I've put all that on your shoulders, we're going to start with one of the sort of signature renovations of Disney California Adventure, and that's Buena Vista Street. And I think, Kevin, I'm going to ask you to kind of give us a little introduction to Buena Vista Street, kind of take us through the turnstiles and describe what we would see as we came out on a Buena Vista Street, and maybe talk just briefly about how this is new to California Adventure.
Well, sure. And I'm glad you asked me, because I knew we were recording tonight and I want to give the best information to our listeners. So I actually took a research trip to DCA this past weekend. So, Aaron, if you can let me know where the expense report goes, I'd certainly appreciate it.
Okay. there's a circular filing cabinet just underneath your desk. It's a magic portal. Okay. Drop it there.
All right. Well, if anybody knows anything about Disney California Adventure, you know that this is the second theme park in Anaheim, right across the Esplanade from the original Disneyland park. This was a park that opened in 2001 and was basically much maligned right from the beginning. 9/11 wasn't even the first hit at tourism attendance levels for this park. So it's always had problems, and you can get a whole podcast about what was wrong. Essentially, what they tried to do was make a park that was all about California in California. And they, like some of the other parks that they've had problems with, they avoided using Disney characters for the most part. And so about 6 or 7 years ago, they decided they need to remake the park. And one of the things that they did as part of remaking the park was to completely redo the entrance plaza. And what you see now when you come into Disney California Adventure is you have a park that is, while at once an homage to the main street right across the street at Disneyland, but also its own thing, which tells its own story about Walt Disney coming to California in the 1920s with optimism in his eyes and dreams in his magical dreams and all this stuff that Disney always likes to include. And what it does is transport you to an old Los Angeles.
Yeah, and you know, to me, it echoes a little bit the sort of the entrance to Hollywood Studios, just a little bit. In that,
yes,
you get that sort of entrance with the theater, you know, at the top of the street, and it gives you that old Hollywood feel from the time you cross the threshold.
Yeah, I was just actually going to come right to that. It's actually, to me, feels very much more organic and much more detailed than the equivalent Hollywood Boulevard that's at Disney Hollywood Studios in Orlando. I think, to me, it just feels like it's a much more grander scope there. There's so many details in this Buena Vista Street as you come in. First and foremost, to me, you have a red car trolley, which is an old-time trolley that used to run in Los Angeles. And while we'll talk probably in more detail about, you know, whether this is a good attraction or not, it certainly adds a lot of placemaking in terms of adding some kinetic energy to this entrance. And I think that their big weenie castle at the end of the end of Buena Vista Street, the Carthay Circle Theater, I think does a better job than today's Hollywood studios does in terms of giving you something in the distance to move towards, like the castle of the Magic Kingdom or something like that.
Right. And as much as I would like to, I can't just pretend that that darn hat isn't there. So we're just going to have to live with that on the Walt Disney World side.
Begrudgingly, yes.
Okay, so Buena Vista Street's role really is to set the stage, and as such, it's not like there are a ton of attractions there, but there are a number of storefronts, shops, the trolley that you've mentioned. So why don't I bring our other panelists in to talk a little bit about what their favorite things are about Buena Vista Street. And Dave, Matt, as the sort of rookie visitor to California Adventure among the panel, what really stood out to you about Buena Vista Street when you first checked out the park?
Well, we really liked the partner statue, the one of a rather young-looking Walt Disney with a probably equally young-looking Mickey Mouse, kind of in the center circle area. Right across from the Carthay Circle restaurant, so that they had some nice photo pass photographers there snapping pictures, and we got some of the family right by that statue. So that was a real nice touch. To be honest, we didn't actually use this entrance very much. We happened to be staying on property, so we got to go in through the Grand California entrance.
Ah, so you were sneaking in the back way, so to speak.
Yes, we kind of missed the big production getting in.
Okay. David Platt, how about you?
Well, I'll have to echo what the other David just said, that there are a lot of great photo opportunities. He already mentioned the partner statue there, which is great. I'm sorry, not partners. That's in Disneyland. There is also a beautiful fountain right in front of the Carthay Circle. There's almost always a photo pass photographer there to get some good pictures. The Carthay Circle itself is a great picture spot. It's, as I think Kevin mentioned a while ago, it just gives a great focal point to the park. You can always look up from where you are and see Carthay Circle and kind of know where you are in the park. It's the equivalent of the Matterhorn in Disneyland. Another thing that I really like about Buena Vista Street that is easy to miss are the cast members that work there as entertainment, not necessarily just characters. They have an entire cast of people that are like citizens of Buena Vista Street, basically. There's a old-timey police officer running around writing tickets to people for various things. There's an old jazz singer woman character who goes around harassing people, and just four or five different characters like that that are a lot of fun to interact with.
Okay. Yeah, so those, again, echo to me as a Disney World, fan, or that's the park that, you know, my experience is with, very much similar to the Citizens of Hollywood in Hollywood Studios. And, you know, there not being a lot of ride-type attractions here, there is a number of dining establishments along this way, places to get food or drink. So why don't we talk a little bit about, favorite opportunities for food and drink here. And I'll come back around to Kevin and see what his favorite is.
Well, of course, the big-ticket item, which almost has its own, need for a fast pass, is the Fiddler, Pfeiffer, and Practical Cafe, which is the Starbucks location here at DCA. It is what it is. Lots of people, very popular. To me, it's not just the fact you're getting Starbucks and maybe a better grade of coffee, but this quick service location is very, very nicely themed and is very relaxing, and there's plenty of seating in here. So on a hot day, it's a great place to kind of go and hang out, maybe if you're meeting somebody at the front of the park.
Okay. Have any of you had the opportunity to check out the Carthay Circle restaurant itself, sort of the signature dining destination for California Adventure?
Yes, I did. We had the Pricks Fix lunch as part of the World of Color package there. And I got to say, I was a tinge disappointed in the food. It was okay, but not really, you know, outstanding in my opinion. But it just could have been a matter of what we had ordered. And there were some really good items on the menu. In particular, the kids' chicken nachos were really tasty for a kids' item.
Okay, good, good. And David, any other dining places we haven't talked about that we should mention along Buena Vista Street?
The only other one I can think of is right next to the Fiddler, Pfeiffer, and Practical. In fact, it's actually in the same building, connected to it, is Clarabelle's Ice Cream Parlor. You can get some really good hand-dipped ice cream bars there, all kinds of fun different ingredients on them. You can get, you know, ice cream cones, just your whole ice cream fix you can get there. It's decent, really good.
All right. So as has become our sort of practice doing these land-by-land explorations of the Disneyland Resort parks, we're going to take our trip moving clockwise around the park. So we've come into Buena Vista Street, and we're going to head to our left, and the first land we're going to encounter there is Hollywood Land. And let's see, why don't David Platt, why don't you walk us into Hollywood Land and kind of paint the picture for us?
Sure. Well, once you hit kind of the intersection where Carthay Circle and the big fountain is, Hollywood Land is directly off to your left. You take a left there and you walk down. Looks pretty much like an old Hollywood city street. There's all kinds of marquees. There's a marquee for Disney Junior Live on Stage, which you pass pretty quickly when you enter Hollywood Land. You pass the Disney Animation Building, couple of good stores, and it that street ends right at the Hyperion Theater, where they put on the Aladdin musical several times every day. So it just has this really old Hollywood feel that is cool. And, you know, as I've mentioned in probably every podcast, I've never been to Disney World, but this is what I imagine Hollywood Studios is a lot like. Is that a good assumption?
There's some definite similarities, I would say.
Okay.
And I mean, it's not, I don't think you get as much of the, and again, I haven't been to DCA, so maybe it's Kevin who we should be asking to do this comparison, but it seems to me that Hollywood Studios has less of the marquee type signage. There's really, it's limited to a few places where you see that kind of thing.
Yeah, I would say it's pretty similar.
It is? Okay.
Yeah, the feel is somewhat different in that with Hollywood Studios, it's a bit more like a movie lot where they've got, say, the streets of New York or residential areas, whereas this is, I'd call kind of, if you were headed towards the Tower of Terror in Hollywood Studios, that more, I'll call it, Californian section of Hollywood
Studios.
Right,
that Sunset Boulevard area. All right.
Yeah.
And it seems like this area is pretty show heavy too. Although there's some a lot of attractions, this is one of the more densely, it seems to me, organized parts of California Adventure. There seems to be a lot going on there. So why don't I bounce over to Kevin? And Kevin, why don't you tell us a little bit about some of your favorite things? Maybe one or two favorite things about the Hollywood Land area.
Well, one of the best things for me is there's this Disney's Animation Building, and again, not just because it's air-conditioned on a hot summer day, but as you noted, they actually have several attractions even just in this one building. They have Turtle Talk with Crush is in this building. They have some of that animation stuff, and again, Disney's Hollywood Studios people may be familiar. But one of the things that I really like in here is they have the Sorcerer's Basement. And it's, what is it called?
Sorcerer's Workshop.
Sorcerer's Workshop.
And it's just a lot of fun to go exploring through there. Even though my kids are now, 11 and 15, they still sometimes like to go down in there and you know, do the little animation thing, or to, you know, pick what character you're like. And they've made some additions to that program in the last year, so you have new characters to draw from and so forth. And so I think it's a good way to just have a very organic time as opposed to a typical theme park, wait in line, ride the ride, get in the next line, and so on and so forth.
Okay.
And in the lobby of this building, they have a very spectacular display of Disney animated classics with a mix of both production animation as well as like drawings and things that from the drawing room. And it's all set to music in a very dramatic way. So it's really spectacular just to hang out in.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds good. And David Platt, how about you? What are some favorite Hollywoodland attractions for you all?
Well, I'll echo part of what Kevin said. That Disney Animation Building is pretty amazing. You can spend several hours in there easily, depending on how much you want to do. But since he already took that and explained it pretty well, I'll move on to something else. I've already mentioned the Aladdin musical. It's a very good show for kids. It's a great introduction to going to the theater, is how I've always put it. It's only about 45 minutes long. It's a Hollywood level, you know, musical production of the Aladdin movie. It's shorter than the movie, obviously. They had to cut out a lot of stuff, but that's great for, you know, 3, 4, 5 year olds. They're not going to sit there for an hour and a half. It's always got lots of topical references to that the adults will get to make it funny for them. And it's just all around a great show. There's, I think the Hyperion Theater where it is holds, I want to say 2,500 people. Does anybody know that number?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, and there's not a bad seat in the place. Any seat you get, you have a great view of the stage. And, yeah, I'd definitely check that out if you go.
Okay. And back around to Dave, Matt, anything else you want to add about Hollywoodland, things that you noticed there that you really enjoyed?
I'll chime in with the Monsters, Inc., Mike and Sully to the Rescue dark ride. It's a very nicely done dark ride. I'd say as an adult, the highlight is at the very end where Roz kind of has personalized snide comments for the various folks in your party. So, they've obviously got someone, you know, kind of watching who's actually in the vehicle and able to make some pretty witty remarks. So that was a lot of fun. I'll also chime in that, you know, my kids love the Sorcerer's Workshop. They spend a lot of time there, and it's a great spot to go during the afternoon when the crowds are getting pretty heavy.
All right. Sounds good. So anything else anybody wants to add about the experience there in Hollywoodland? It seems sort of food-wise that there's not a whole lot to talk about there, just some sort of counter service options. Anything stand out?
Well, let's talk about the e-ticket attraction here. The Tower of Terror definitely fits in really well with this area. And I know the Walt Disney World purists will bemoan the differences with this ride, but it's still lots and lots of fun, and it's definitely worth checking out if you haven't done it. It is very thrilling and thematically, you know, very well done as well. And then I'll note that the red car trolley, which goes all the way from the entrance of the park at Buena Vista Street, works its way through Hollywoodland and drops you off right at the Tower of Terror at the end and does like a circle. So, you know, you can catch the trolley at either end and ride it if you want. Definitely can walk faster than this thing actually goes, but it's still lots of fun to ride anyway.
You know, let's go ahead and take a minute and talk about the trolley for just a minute, because it seems to me the big complaint that I hear about the trolley is that it fits the theme great. Whether you ride it or not, it kind of adds to the atmosphere of these parts of the park. But that it's just so terribly inefficient. It's slow. It loads slowly. It takes forever to get there and back. And there's not enough capacity to really make it worth taking your time to enjoy. Is there something I missed there? And you know, anybody want to volunteer a way to you know, make it work better?
Yeah, I don't think you've missed anything there. It's fun to do once. It's not really I don't view it as a method of transportation. I wouldn't use it to get around the park because it is so slow. And also, they sometimes have trolleys running in either direction. So the trolley you're on will have to pull off like on a spur of the track and wait for a few minutes for the other trolley to come the other way. And so you're just sitting there for about 5 or 10 minutes waiting on that. And it's a little annoying. But they do have a great show that is trolley-based several times a day. It's the, I'm totally blanking on the name right now. Kevin, can you help me out? Is it the Newsboys?
Red Card Newsboys, yes.
Yeah, that the Newsboys put on a musical show from the trolley, and Mickey is there with them. It's a lot of fun.
Okay, sounds good. So moving on from Hollywoodland, we kind of continue around, and we've moved to the left of the park, but because Hollywoodland sort of turns back to your right, you loop back to the right, and there in front of you as you pass the Tower of Terror is A Bug's Land. And Dave Matt, why don't you kind of walk us into A Bug's Land from Hollywoodland?
Okay, as you walk through, there's going to be kind of a lot of essentially kid carnival-type attractions, all themed around the picture of or the movie picture of Bug's Life. You've got kind of a bumper car set up and a... I forget the exact thing, but essentially it lifts kids up in the air and, kind of spins them around kind of a more slow motion spinner. There's also a number of water areas. And then you've got the, if you kind of head back towards the main part of the park, you go by It's Tough to Be a Bug Theater.
Okay. So you've got mostly, attractions, rides focused on smaller kids, and then the Tough to Be a Bug show sort of is the core of what A Bug's Land is. Kevin, any favorites about A Bug's Land?
Well, this is one of my favorite areas, this park, actually. As much as it is obviously definitely oriented towards kids, and clearly they didn't spend $1 billion in, infrastructure in this section, I kind of view the kid-oriented carnival-style rides as being very much in line with some of the things even in Fantasyland, because it's not just the thrill of the ride or whatever, but sort of the parts and all the Imagineering that goes around with it. And so my favorite here is Heimlich's Choo Choo Train. And this is the slowest train you'll ever ride in your life. It's not a long train, but it basically you're riding with Heimlich from the movie, and he's going through and showing you things, and he has this very funny commentary along the way, and there's a little bit of a 4D effect with some of the scents and things that happen to you. And it's not the most thrilling ride in the world, but it's just to me lots of fun. So that is my favorite here in this land.
All right.
Yeah, that ride is just so much fun. I love it. I can't explain why. It brings out the 5-year-old in me.
And I do like the Flix Flyers ride that Dave mentioned earlier as well. That's
the name. Thanks.
Okay. Dave, anything else about A Bug's Land besides what you described that caught your eye or that you found particularly compelling?
Actually, I'll chime in that you definitely want to do this early, not necessarily, before you do Radiator Springs Racers, but it does get pretty darn crowded, and the rides, have pretty, low capacity. So when we'd go through this area in the, kind of mid-afternoon, you'd have 45-minute-long waits for some of these rides. So I was really happy we did it kind of, 10 or 11 a.m.-ish.
Yeah, good point. That's one of the things that we often find with some of the attractions that are focused on smaller kids. I think that Disney tends to avoid the Omnimover setup with smaller kids just because loading and unloading smaller kids without stopping is more of a challenge. And so, you know, because these are cycle rides where the ride has to stop for people to load on, it does take longer, and that does tend to slow down and limit capacity. Anything else about this land that we should spend a little more time talking about? I don't want to give it short shrift, but it is sort of, you know, what it's been described as. And it's, I don't want people to get the wrong idea, because I think what Kevin was talking about is really critical, that this could have been a disaster area for this park. It could have been just kiddie carnival rides, you know, shades of parts of Dino Land at Disney's Animal Kingdom. And instead, you know, Disney really went the extra mile to do the theming that was necessary to make it organic and complete.
Yeah, that's one thing. Excuse me. That's one thing I was actually going to bring up before we moved on, was that I wanted to mention the theming of the land, because, I mean, for my money, I think this is one of the best themed lands in California Adventure. It's every little detail makes you feel like you're the size of a bug. Everything is made up of like giant palm leaves or giant pencils or like Flix Flyers. Actually, looks like it's made up of various trash items that Flick has found and built the ride out of. It's really something. It's cool.
All right.
Yeah, they did an amazing job with the theming on it. And, you know, I'll also chime in that for kids, hey, you know, they'll love the bumper cars just as much as they may love Tower Terror, at least at the younger ages. So, yeah, it was a big hit.
Oh, and another thing that nobody's mentioned, and I actually haven't experienced it myself, so I wanted to ask. I've heard a lot of people say Tough to Be a Bug probably isn't the best idea for younger kids. Has anybody experienced that? Can tell me.
Yes, that is true. You know, okay. It's one of these 3D movies with, you know, lighting effects and you know, in seat, you know, tactile effects, and it can be intense for smaller kids. So if your child is scared by, you know, Pinocchio or Snow White, then this is definitely not be a ride for them. Or an attraction for them.
Okay, that's what I've heard. I've held off on doing that one because my daughter has some sensory issues, so I thought it might not be the best for us yet. So, yeah, that's good to know.
Yeah, because it's the 4D piece of it, I think, that really pushes it over the edge, because not only do you see the bugs, you know, in 3D coming at you, but then you get the feeling of them along your leg. Or, you know, you get the thump on your back from the seat.
Or flying down out of the ceiling or something like that loud explosive effects.
Oh, yeah. I mean, forget my daughter. I don't think I would like that.
Yeah, it's one of those it's kind of a love or hate attraction. You know, people who really like those immersive 4D attractions, I think, really like it because it is very thorough in the extent to which it's expressed. But if you're not a huge fan of that kind of attraction, I hear more negative than positive about it, I think, still.
Okay.
All right. So anybody else have anything they want to add about any of the three areas that we talked about so far in the show?
Yeah, you know, we should probably talk about the Mad Tea Party.
Good point.
This is a street party that takes place usually on Fridays and Saturdays on the weekends or during the whole week during, like, super crazy busy season.
Yeah, before you talk too much about it, because I want you to give the detail in a second, but this is one of those kinds of things that takes place at Disneyland Resort that we just don't see anything similar to this at Walt Disney World. And it's important, I think, to kind of set the stage for it a little bit and mention it because, in some ways, this is the California Adventure answer to, you know, swing dancing at Disneyland, where the theme parks in California also kind of are part of the just sort of social fabric. And so there are things that go on in the theme parks that are events in and of themselves, and we tend not to see that very often at Disney World unless they're sort of one-off special events. but Mad Tea Party is a regularly occurring event at California Adventure. So, I'm sorry, I interrupted you, so pick up where you were.
Well, sure. It takes place in the Hollywoodland area in this backlot area near the Monsters, Inc. ride, and what they do is at dusk, they'll wheel out DJ stations and drink stations and all kinds of decorations and crazy lights. And basically, it's a party, so it's very heavy on the special glowing drinks and very loud music. And now with the Mad Tea Party, they have a rock band that's all dressed like characters from the Tim Burton Alice in Wonderland. And, you know, it draws a lot of young, hip kids and people who like some of that stuff as well. And it can be very popular. We saw this, I don't even know how to describe this artist. He had like tubes around himself and he could sort of gyrate and it was like he was a human slinky. It's really hard to explain, but it was incredible to watch. They have guys walking around on stilts. So it's definitely, something where, you know, I wouldn't bring your 5-year-old to hang out here, but if you have older kids or you're a young adult yourself, can be a good time on a weekend.
Yeah, it's almost like a mini portable rave.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it, yeah. But, of course, with Disney, it's very themed and immersive and that whole thing. You know, and, again, it's obviously leveraging a property as well here, so it's right. A good time. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because I had made a note and then kind of missed my own note, so...
One other thing I'd like to bring up.
Okay.
I know a complaint early on with California Adventure was, as Kevin touched on earlier, was a lack of Disney characters. And I just wanted to talk about some of the places in these areas you could meet characters, because are a few.
Yeah
on Buena Vista Street, right around the fountain, usually right around that area, you can usually find Goofy. A lot of times you can find Mickey or Pluto. Dressed in like 20s or 30s Hollywood style, like Goofy's always got on a really cool zoot suit. Mickey has on his newsboy outfit a lot of times. Not Hollywood Studios. Next to the Disney Junior Live on Stage, you can meet a lot of times some of the Disney Junior characters, which you can't see anywhere else in either park. Like Jake from Jake and the Neverland Pirates. I've heard Sophia from Sophia the First is out there a lot lately. Sometimes Handy Manny. Sometimes the Incredibles are around that same area. But one of the absolutely coolest things you can do in this area of the park is back near the Muppets 3D and the Monsters, Inc. ride. I can't remember the name of the building, but there is a... event that they have occasionally. It doesn't run year round. You'll have to check if it's on when you're there, but it's called Dancing with Disney. And it's geared towards pretty much the 5 and under set. It's a big nightclub for preschoolers, basically. You go in, there's a DJ playing, you know, kid appropriate music, and they have groups of characters come out to dance with the kids. They rotate about every 30 minutes, the group. And it's not like an autograph or a taken pictures kind of meet and greet, but it's a very different meet and greet experience from what you get anywhere else in the park. Like my daughter got to dance with Daisy Duck and Clarabelle, two of her favorite characters, the first time we ran across this, and she was just over the moon about it. So ask around, you know, ask one of the cast members if that's going on when you're there, and check it out if you have a younger kid.
Okay, good tips. Anything else that we would want to make sure people knew about these three areas of California Adventure, particularly if they haven't had an opportunity to see it before?
One kind of handy tip is for the Animation Academy, they will post on a kind of billboard outside the building what times they're doing the drawings of the different characters. So if there's a particular character you'd like to learn how to draw, like Perry the Platypus or Goofy or such, you can just kind of walk past the building early on in the day and find out when things are scheduled.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sorry. Anything else before I wrap it? All right. Well, you've heard about our panel suggestions about these three areas of Disney California Adventure: Buena Vista Street, Hollywood Land, and Bugs Land. We'd love to hear from you and hear about your favorite things about these areas of Disney California Adventure. Email us at podcast@dizdads.com. Visit our blog, dizdads.com, and tweet us at Dizdads Podcast on Twitter. We'd also love to have you participating in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with David Platt.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Kevin Crossman.
Good night, everyone.
And Dave Matt.
Good night, folks.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.